Talk. I saw such a lovely YouTube video recently about seven women in China who have decided to live their own version of the Golden Girls, if you like. They've known each other for more than 20 years, and they're actually only just hitting middle age now, so they're by no means close to retirement yet, but they have already decided they are going to pool their resources, and they have jointly bought a large house in the suburbs outside Guangzhou where they plan to spend their retirement years together. And they've had it refurbished, they've created individual spaces so that they'll each have their own private part of the house, and then the large communal area where they will live together, eat together, cook and relax together when they want to. Sounds like a lovely idea on paper, but when you think about it, there are a lot of practicalities involved here that make me wonder how long this lasts and how smoothly it runs. Because yes, they are all guaranteed the joy of friendship and companionship whenever they want it. But all the what ifs go through my mind. What if they find that they no longer get along so well in their older years? What if one of them finds they can't keep up with the payments on their portion of the bond? What if one finds they can't afford the rates any longer? What if one of them isn't pulling their weight in the shared chores in the household and they need to get out? And here you sit with a very complicated ownership structure involving seven different people. My initial thought was, I really hope they've got an ironclad agreement of some kind in place that sets out what will happen if any of those pitfalls occur. And it got us thinking about this concept of joint home ownership. And that was then accelerated by the news that FNB was launching a product that would allow up to eight people to apply for a home loan for collective residential use. So we thought we'd have a conversation today about some of the pros and cons of joint home ownership. Joining me on the line is Marius Tenny Crook, who is the provincial sales manager for Uber Home Loans in the Western Cape. And that's OOBA, not Uber like the cars. It's Uber, the bond originators. Marius, it's great to have you with us. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Pepper. Yes, thanks for clearing the Uber and the Uber situation up. I appreciate that.
Sure. I must happen to you all the time, I would imagine. Marius, yeah. What are some of the big legal considerations, first of all, around joint ownership of property?
Yes, I mean, we can start this conversation by saying, you know, if you want to go into a venture like this, choose your partners very well. Mm-hmm. You don't want this whole thing to end up at the Christmas lunch where you have a tiff and then everybody falls out and then the whole thing collapses. So this product has been around for some time, and all the banks have allowed people to do more than two applicants on an application. And FNB has just launched a new one where you can actually allow 12 people to apply. Up to 12 people, yes. So, and those are all individual people that then can apply for the bond, and with the other banks, they're obviously allowed to do the same. So it's called collective buying, and obviously there are some benefits to this where, you know, it makes monthly repayments more affordable. You can afford a larger home. You can get a larger loan amount. Amongst all of you, you can put down a larger deposit, which obviously also influences the rate that the bank's going to give you because you've put some equity into the property. And it reduces your maintenance and your running costs. And also you're sharing the financial risk. Mm-hmm. So those are all the sort of pros that, you know, that makes it quite an incentive to share a property and to buy a property together. But then, like you said, you know, then we all get into the mess where it's, I always say, we never go into the wedding thinking we're going to get divorced.
Yeah.
You know, we always think it's going to be a great thing. So there are some legal aspects we have to look at. You know, one of them would be, what if one of them lose their job? So the affordability becomes an issue. Have the others, say we work with 12 parties, have the other 11 decided how are they going to manage if one or two people would lose their job, and how they're going to catch up. What happens if one person dies? You know, then this whole thing becomes an estate issue. And how do they deal with it until the estate is wound up? Because even though one person or two people might have passed away, the bond must still be paid. You know, you are jointly and severally liable for the bond repayment. So the bank doesn't say because one person is now decided he's no longer interested or one person passes away that the bond repayment stops.
Yeah.
That still carries on. So the other people have got to make sure, you know, when they do their finances, that if that happened, they can actually afford to keep on paying the bond. So that's one of the – and the other one is, you know, what if the party gets sequestrated? So those are all the legal aspects that we actually have to look at, and how do we deal with those things? And again, that you should have a proper agreement in place. How do you agree on these things. The same with the maintenance of the house. You know, it's painting, all those kind of things. How do we split the bill? Are some of us going to live in the property? Are we going to rent the property out, split the rental income? So those are all aspects that you have to look at. But it does give people a foot into the market. You know, they could maybe, the 12 of them could maybe go in, and then in 2 or 5 years' time, sell that property, split the profit, and each one can then probably get his own property. I would say it's a nice foot in as well.
I mean, in terms of sort of practicalities, how does this process work? Maurice, is there one bond registered in 12 names and the 12 people each pay their 1/12 portion from their own bank account each month? Or does it have to be done through a joint account, for example? How does it actually work in practice?
Okay, so to start off with this, this sort of application would be a mortgage originator or a bank's nightmare. It is 12 people's information that you have to gather. So you're going to have to gather their pay slips, their financials, their income expenses for all 12 people. And then that application will go into the bank. The bank will assess affordability across the board for all 12 and see that there is affordability to service the bond. And then there will only one bond be registered over that property. So it's not 12 different portions. Yeah. It's one bond that will get registered. And the banks are different. Some want one debit order running off one account, and others would allow you to actually run more than one debit order from other accounts.
Okay. So that, I mean, that raises all kinds of also difficulties. So, you know, as you say, what if one person loses their job, defaults on their payment that month? Does the bank come knocking on the other 11 doors saying, I'm taking an extra couple of hundred rand this month?
Well, I mean, they wouldn't come knock on their door and ask, you know, for the money directly. But yes, if it becomes to a situation where they have now skipped payment or they fall into arrears 3-4 months down the line, they would definitely not just go knock on the one door. They would, if all of them are in this together and they are jointly liable for the repayment. So you can't say to the bank, because person 12 is not paying, that is not my responsibility. I am paying. Unfortunate thing is, you all 12 of you are liable for this together.
Okay, I mean, that's so important, as you said, Marius, to be aware of going in, that you've got to have agreements in place as to how you handle that situation if it does arise. I'm also thinking, what if one of the 12's credit record doesn't pass muster and the other 11 are perfectly capable of proceeding with the purchase, but the bank says no to that 12th? It's going to scupper the whole deal, isn't it?
Absolutely. That is always the risk that you're going to take. It might be that 11 of them got such strong credit history that the bank will overlook a slight blemish on the 12th, but it could be the opposite, that the 12th person could sink this boat completely and the bond will be turned down because of the one rotten apple in the bunch.
Just for those who've joined us late to the conversation, my guest is Marius Tenny Crook, Provincial Sales Manager for Uber Home Loans in the Western Cape, talking to us about some of the pros and cons of joint home ownership. And we're not saying by any means that it should never happen. I mean, Marius, I've got, within my own extended family, there's a multi-generational ownership structure that's worked very nicely for all parties. It works for many people in many different settings. Often you will see spouses buying together, for example, and pooling their resources. But here's an example of somebody who's learned the hard way. Shan sending us a WhatsApp saying, having jointly owned a home with my siblings after my mother died, I suggest serious legal contracts must be in place. My sister had no financial sense and wanted to redo kitchens and floors, etc., just to rent to a tenant. I will never get involved with joint ownership like that again. Shan's echoing what you've already said, Marius. You've got to really have ironclad agreements in place and written down and signed, don't you, before you even consider it?
Absolutely. That's the real thing here. But the bottom line is still going to remain. It doesn't really matter what you've got in place when it comes to repayment. If one person doesn't repay, all 12 of you are liable. So you can have an agreement, if say about the maintenance of the property. If we need to repaint, this is what we've got to agree upon. If we want to sell, or one person wants to get out, this is what we have to agree upon. But when it comes to the repayment, there's no agreement with the bank except that all 12 have to pay the bond.
Okay. Marius, any final words of advice to any of our listeners who might be considering going into a joint ownership arrangement?
I mean, I would say make sure that you've got, you know, choose your partners wisely in this fight. It's not an overnight exercise. You know, you buy a property which is an investment, and it only takes about 5 years in the market for them to realize the investment. And you've got to make sure that you know that people that you're going to go in with are secure. They've been with their jobs for a while. They're financially responsible people. But it is a foot in the door. You know, if you buy under $1 million, for example, there's no transfer duty payable. So that you save money on that. And then from there, as I said, use it as a stepping stone to eventually acquire your own property by yourself or your spouse if you get married or, you know, something like that. But it is dicey, but it is an opportunity.
Marius Tenney-Crook, thanks so much for the advice this afternoon. Marius, the Provincial Sales Manager for Uber Home Loans in the Western Cape.